You are listening to the Hey Kids Comics Radio Show, broadcast through the facilities of Trent Radio on 92.7 CFFF-FM in Peterborough, Canada.
Hey, kids.
I'm Batman.
Look, up in the sky. It's a bird.
It's a plane.
It's dance-off, bro. Me and you.
Hello, and welcome to Hey Kids Comics. I'm your host, Dan Collins.
Hey there, this is Martin Bruda.
Chris Gill.
Hi, I'm Sam Tweedle. I could talk about Archie forever.
The biggest bane to my existence right now is S.H.I.E.L.D. number 9.
They know that I would have put it under my shirt and ran off.
What are you talking about? I haven't seen any Action Comics number 1.
Gwenpool, I mean Spider-Gwen, the whole heat and stuff, this is going to be worth a few bucks. And nobody wanted it.
Yes, Dan, the Killing Joke does need to be R-rated.
I kind of like punching the walls of reality as a way to bring a character back because nobody knows what we're talking about right now.
Dark Knight Strikes Back was one of the biggest piles of dung ever, and it was what, $10 an issue?
We need to shame Sam. He is not here because he's gone to the Gem and the Holograms movie.
Hello and welcome to Hey Kids Comics. I'm Dan Collins.
Martin Bruda.
Chris Gilpin.
Now that we got that out of the way.
Yeah.
Comics. Hey, comic books.
Yep. Comics. So
it's another Friday night. Time to chat and shoot the poop about comic books. Hey, it was my birthday last week.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
And I don't say that because it's like you guys didn't say anything about my birthday. You guys just be a bunch of jerks. I say that because I cashed in some of my birthday gift cards.
Nice.
So I got a gift card for Amazon, so of course first thing I do is I head to Amazon and my huge list of, like, every time something neat comes out, I always like go to Amazon. I'm like, oh yeah. Save for later or right. Into my cart. So I'm looking at my shopping cart and there's like 80 some odd things in there. just crazy. So I didn't get that big of a birthday card. So I had to pick and choose. So I picked the Marvel Age of Comics. I don't know if you guys have seen this thing, but it is this massive, like 1 foot by 1.5 foot. I'm using Imperial here for all you people out there. Book, and it must weigh 2.5 kilos. I mean, it's just this massive tome written by Roy Thomas. Oh. And it's like the history of Marvel Comics from 1961 to 1978. And it's got like huge reproductions of like pages and panels, and it's super cool. Now, what I didn't realize is that when I got this book, it is a companion to, I don't know if you remember, the DC set of books that they had.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they came out with one big massive volume that would kill a small horse if you ever dropped it on them. Mm-hmm. But then they split it up into the Golden Age of DC, the Silver Age of DC, and the Bronze Age of DC.
Yeah.
And they canceled there was supposed to be a Copper Age and a Modern Age. For some reason, they didn't produce those last two books. Well, I have those as well. And I didn't realize this was a companion piece. Like, the cover trade dress is the same. The spine is the same, which, right? Right?
Right. Like, right? That's all I'm about. I don't even care about the content. As long as the spines are the same.
So it fits on the shelf. Great. But like, take a look at that. Like, that's a spread from the book. I didn't bring it here because I was scared I was going to like damage the board
yeah.
here.
Nice.
But I mean, it's massive. Like, when you stretch it out, it's at least 1 foot by 2 feet, right?
Holy cow.
And it just got these great illustrations, you know, some Kirby stuff in there, some Ditko stuff. They got like the raw pencil and inks to the Silver Surfer first cover. This is really, really cool historical book about Marvel Comics. I thought that was really cool.
And it actually looks as good for real as it does on the pictures and on the website.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because those are pretty, like, those pictures just pop right out there.
Oh, no, it's pretty amazing. Like, as soon as you flip that book, that one Technicolor piece there is just amazing. And, of course, you know, you buy these things. You plan on reading them. You never do. Eventually, the wife says, get this stuff off the table, and you mm-hmm. put it on your bookshelf. And then you watch as your bookshelf just kind of starts bending in the middle.
Yeah.
So I hope to read this one before I... before my next birthday, at least.
But the whole thing, or just cool. part?
Well, you know, I'm going to flip through the pages. The last book like that I actually ended up reading cover to cover was a hardcover book that showed all the ads from the cartoon, from the comic books.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then photographs of what you actually got. So when it said, you know, you get 1,001 army men, Then they showed pictures of the actual army men, and they're two-dimensional.
Yeah.
Like, they were flat. So they weren't like regular army guys that you'd buy at Byway or something. They were really flat, and they showed the Polaris sub that you could get. 3-foot-long Polaris sub, and then they showed you the actual picture of a kid with it folded out in his backyard. That was a cool book.
Yeah, it sounds really cool.
I can't remember what it's called, but that was a cool book. You should look that one up. I'll probably post it somewhere on the Facebook or something like that if I can remember the title.
I was actually flipping through an old comic the other day. It was actually one of those... I'm trying to remember that. Oh, I can't remember. I know. Damn it. Darn it. I can't remember what it was. Anyways. And I come across an ad, and it's join the Star Wars Club.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Right? It's like, oh, that's cool. And I kept flipping. 2 pages later, it's like, coming soon, Star Wars action figures.
Yeah,
it was
yeah.
like the original ad for the Star Wars action figures. It was just, it was awesome.
That was, there was a distributor, I'm trying to remember what they were called, Heroes World? Geez. It was run by a guy named Schneider, and he put out those, like, it would be a whole page ad with hand-drawn Mego figures and hand-drawn action figures and stuff like this. And then every once in a while, he took all those ads and published it into an actual catalog, like a comic book format.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like the superhero catalog, and you flip through them, you see all those really cool old ads for, like I said, you know, the Star Wars action figures, and it's all hand-drawn
yeah.
images of the figures and stuff.
Yeah.
I got a couple of those in my collection. They're pretty neat.
Yeah, there it is.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen that, Dan? You're too young for that.
I'm too young for that.
But it was pretty awesome. Oh, man, did we ever pine for that stuff?
Yeah.
What's the price? They got to have a price here. Here we go. $3.29 each for an action figure. $15 for a TIE Fighter. Well, it's no wonder I never got a TIE Fighter.
Yeah.
Land Speeder was $7.70. Well, that's not too bad.
Yeah.
What year is that from?
Well, it's going to be 77.
Yeah.
77. 78. Oh, that's just wicked. I wonder who drew that.
I was thinking the same thing. They make a great poster, though.
Yeah. But that kind of stuff is in those, superhero merchandise. I wonder if they actually have a company name here. Talk amongst yourselves while I look. Produced by the Joe Kubert School of Cartoon Art. Well, of course, there you go.
Kubert. I was thinking the old Q man, but.
There you go. Somebody was drawing in his style. But yeah, this book that I bought was $64 Canadian. Well, that's not bad.
No.
Big hardcover like that.
I know, like, Amazon has some great prices on those omnibuses.
Oh, man.
Like, I end up picking up a couple of those things for like $50 or something a year, where I still haven't finished one of them. But
oh my gosh, they're so heavy.
It's almost impossible to read. My brother, so for Christmas last year or the year before, my brother wanted, what's this? The Invisibles by Grant Morrison.
Yeah, yeah.
And that is the biggest book I've ever seen in my life. It is so big that, like, it's literally, like, the spine is 6 inches wide.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm just like, how? I said to him, I was like, how do you read that? And he goes, I haven't read it yet. like it's almost impossible. You need, like, heavy lifting equipment to hold it.
You'd have to read it on a table. I can't see how you'd read it holding it up.
You certainly can't read it, like, you know, I like to lounge as I read. Yeah, usually, yeah. If you're holding that above your head, your wrist would break, and then you would actually get a concussion when it hits you in the face.
Yep.
So, yeah.
That'd be crazy.
Oh, man.
Now, mind you, this historic book that I got, it's not exactly light either. But, I mean, look at that. That's a full page.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Now, okay, you guys do the show. I'm going home. I'm going to read this. Man, oh, man.
Oh, boy.
But that one's just the best. And that's a bit apropos considering that the Thor Ragnarok movie's coming out.
I was just going to say, is that this weekend or next weekend?
November 4th, I think.
Oh, it's still a couple weeks.
I think it's November 4th. And then Punisher and Justice League are both being released on the same weekend, which I think, if I'm not mistaken, 18th.
Hmm.
Couple of weeks after Thor. So it's like bang, bang, bang. We're going to get to see, you know, Netflix for Punisher and cinema for Thor and Justice League. So it's going to be a busy November for me.
I think that didn't somebody was saying like Punisher, because Punisher got pushed back a little
bit. Yeah, it got pushed back to that weekend.
And so is it the same?
So if you look on the site there, I'm sure it'll be there somewhere.
Is it the same weekend that Justice League is opening?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
And the conspiracy theorists.
Yes. Yeah, that was, that's what
Marvel did it on purpose.
There's no doubt that they did it on purpose. Movie companies have been doing this, like studios have been doing this for decades, trying to outgun each other on particular key weekends. So there's no way in heck that when they were looking for an alternative date, that wasn't a consideration. Yeah. Like some weekends, I'm not sure if that corresponds with the American Thanksgiving or not. But some weekends, like the U.S. Labor Day, the U.S. Thanksgiving, Christmas, for some reason in America, it's a big thing to go see movies on Christmas.
Yeah.
Mine was to get a concussion down the hill on a toboggan. But
that's right.
You know, those key weekends, there's a battle for real estate there in the movie theater. So I'm sure that weekend has more significance than just being the weekend of Justice League's coming out. Like, there's a reason why Warner Brothers picked that weekend. But yeah, there's no doubt in my mind that somebody at Marvel was going, if we got to push this, we're pushing it to that weekend. Yeah. But it's not going to stop me. I got all weekend long. Friday after the radio show, you know, there's a screening right then. We're watching Justice League. Saturday morning, it's going to be, you know, Punisher for the first three episodes. And then maybe I'll have lunch, maybe not. Then I'll go see Justice League. Then I'll have two more episodes of Punisher. And then Justice League on Saturday, like Sunday, it'll fit.
Yeah.
It'll fit. Yeah. It's not a problem.
I will not watch either.
Why not?
Out of laziness.
Oh, come on.
Well, with having little kids around and stuff, I can't watch The Punisher anytime I want.
That's why you put it in
the bed.
Especially
The Punisher.
Yeah. Or watch on your phone with headphones.
No, you can't
No.
You can't watch on your phone.
Like, you know, there might be some things you can watch on your phone, but like something like The Punisher, definitely not.
No, you gotta see that big screen. Yeah. Big screen.
Big screen, Sam's.
I mean, Daredevil was awesome. Daredevil season 2 was okay. The other ones were just okay for me, like the other Netflix ones. I didn't hate them by any stretch of the imagination, but they didn't blow me out of the water. But the first season of Daredevil did, and I'm really anticipating that this Punisher's going to be amazing.
And I would agree, like, Daredevil season 1 was just, I don't want to say perfect, but it was pretty close. Season 2 was good. I liked the Punisher stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, the fighting and stuff in season 1, like, I remember the fighting... The fight scene where he's in the going through like the building, whatever, and you just follow him as he's going up the hallway, going into each room and getting into a fight and beating some people up, and then going up into the next room, fighting people in the hall. And it's like one extended shot for the entire time. And that was just like, that was amazing.
Well, the other thing also is that being first is easy, right?
Yeah.
So, I had a specific example in mind, and then I looked at the cover of this comic book, and it just flew right out of my feeble 48-year-old head. You know, you see it. Batman 1989.
Yeah.
Like, just the opening credits, as they were panning inside the logo, and you were hearing that Batman music, we were all freaking out in the theater. We were all, like, hyper, heart rate pounding, screaming up and down, yelling, "That's Batman!" Now you watch that movie and you're like, oh, this is kind of cheesy. There's some problems here. Oh, how thick was the rubber on that cowl? Keaton's not moving around much. But when you were watching it, it was like, wow. So I think it's the same thing with the Netflix things. They did such a good job with Daredevil that when they did an equally as good job with Jessica Jones, you weren't wowed by that stuff anymore. So then you were picking up on some of the other things that you maybe were a little bit weaker.
Yeah.
Same thing with Luke Cage, right? When Luke Cage came out, you're like, okay, well, you know, this was a bit of a problem in Jessica Jones, and they just did more of it here. And, you know, so it's easy to be, I think anyways, like, it's not hard to have an apple land on your head and go, oh, gravity, look, I'm a scientist. Now try to find something that earns you a Nobel Prize in physics. It's a little bit harder than having an apple land on your head.
Yeah.
So, is what it is. Other than that, what about you guys? Anything?
You watching Gotham at all?
I watched the first 2 episodes of the new season. I think I'm 2 episodes back.
I've come to accept that it is way beyond not our Gotham.
Oh, yeah. That's just like Smallville.
I've put it way up there, right? Because he's now jumping around rooftops in masks and leather and armor and, you know.
So. Yeah, I saw
and he's
the,
like 16 or whatever. So.
I saw the episode where Lucius Fox comes in and gives him gives him some gear to help him with his mountain climbing so he doesn't hurt himself. And I thought that was kind of a funny little callback. But, it's I don't know, man.
I'm having a hard time thinking of a villain that hasn't appeared in it yet. I mean, they're all, you know.
Well,
Ra's al Ghul, Rachel.
If you're thinking about, like, if you call back to the Batman 66, I don't think I've seen Shane yet.
Yeah, or Egghead or any of those guys.
But no, Egghead wasn't there, but Bookworm. Mad Hatter was.
Yeah.
Mr. Freeze was.
Yeah. Scarecrow.
Joker, Scarecrow.
Solomon Grundy, apparently.
Oh, Solomon Grundy. I love Solomon Grundy. He was originally a Green Lantern, Golden Age Green Lantern villain.
Yeah.
Alan Scott fought him all the time. I love that character.
Yeah. Have you watched any of those, Dan?
I have not. I haven't watched a single episode. Now, my wife was watching Supergirl, and she didn't like it.
No. Well, I'm up to date on Supergirl. I watched the latest one today. There's just a little bit too much angst involved. She's just all, just too angsty, too.
So how do you pronounce it? Ra's al Ghul? Ra's al Ghul?
This is how it works.
I know we've had this conversation before.
This is how it works. The character was invented by a bunch of Jewish New Yorkers.
Right.
And they all swear up and down it's Ra's al Ghul.
Right.
The problem is that Jewish New Yorkers may not have the best linguistic skills on the planet. Right. So in whatever language it actually is, Arabic, Sumerian, whatever it is, it's actually pronounced Ra's al Ghul. So properly pronounced.
How do they spell? How is it? They say Ra's on the Gotham, don't they?
I think they say Ra's al Ghul.
Yeah.
If I'm not mistaken. So it's one of those things where, you know, hey, look, it's Indians. No, those aren't Indians.
Yeah,
you're on the wrong continent. Well, nice job, white guy.
I like.
So it's the same thing, right?
Yeah. Gordon pretty much has a new partner. That's pretty much just shadowing him to make sure he behaves himself.
Who's that?
And it's a woman. I can't even remember what her
name
is.
Yeah, I must not be on that episode.
I keep wanting to say he calls her Barbara, which is weird. But anyways, maybe it's Harper. Anyways, doesn't matter. He's the last episode. I guess he finally heard of Ra's al Ghul, right?
Yeah.
And he gets on, and they get a big fight, and he gets on the phone. Harper, get me everything you know about Ra's al Ghul. And she goes, okay, how do you spell? And he hangs up on her. And then later she's like, okay, I've looked up a Roger al Ghul and Robert al Ghul, and I can't find anything.
Robert Goulet.
Oh, man, that was pretty funny.
So, yeah, I mean, like, yeah, Neil Adams, I talked to him about Ra's al Ghul once, and specifically that, and he just kind of laughed and goes, you know, what did us New Yorkers know about languages from the desert and stuff like this? So,
yeah.
So, yeah, it's, you know, Neanderthals, Neanderthals.
Shul.
You know, whatever. Like, we used to call it Neanderthals. And then somebody was like, oh, actually, in German, it's pronounced, the valley is called the Tall Valley, not the you know, so now they're Neanderthals instead of Neanderthals.
No.
Whatever. You know, I got enough pronunciation problems in my life to worry about that. So if you guys want to change it, go ahead and change it. I don't care. No big deal for me.
Yeah.
But yeah, up to date on DC Legends of Tomorrow, which is weird and quirky. And like you said, you got to like disconnect yourself from the DC universe.
Yeah.
It's just not connected to anything. But it's kind of funny and quirky, so I kind of like it. Up to date on Flash, it's a bit angsty right now. And you decided to save the world instead of stay home with me and have a wedding, so now I'm mad at you. Really? Superheroes, come on. Of course they're going to save the world instead of stay home with the girl. That's what makes them heroes. So I'm up to date there. But they're talking about all these new ones coming out. Like, I started watching Gifted, which I know you like.
Mm-hmm.
And Carly, my wife, really likes Gifted, so now that's one of those shows I can't watch without her. So,
Which,
well, you can always do what Christine does. You know, we agreed to watch Modern Family, and she's like 8 episodes ahead of me now.
No, I can't.
It was supposed to be us, but you know,
I can't do that.
What do you mean?
It's not like I don't have a lot of shows that I watch without her. I mean, she doesn't watch Arrow. She doesn't watch Flash. And those aren't... She loves Orville.
Yeah.
I mean, if we want to segue into more non-comic book stuff so Sam can sit there and scream at the radio, see, you guys do it too. You guys do it too. You don't talk about comics all the time.
I'm just loving the guest appearances on Orville.
That's Orville's cool. Awesome.
Is that Liam Neeson on the screen?
Liam Neeson.
Charlize Theron. Oh, my.
Ralph Garman's going to be on it soon.
Oh, man.
Ralph Garman is... he does Hollywood Babylon podcast with Kevin Smith.
He does
a lot of celebrity voices. So he's done a lot of the fake celebrity voices on Family Guy.
Right.
So he's going to be on it. I love seeing little cameos of him because he's one of those, I won't say failed Hollywood actors, but he's one of those guys that struggled and struggled and struggled. And he was like, you know, Bully Number Two and After School Special. And, and he was a DJ on, I can't remember whether it was an episode of Angel or an episode of Buffy the Vampire Slayer. He was like a bartender or a DJ that had a...
Had like one line or something?
No, he was in three episodes or something like that because it was like a reoccurring thing or something. I don't know. I didn't see it myself. So
comics.
Yes.
What are we, before we get into specifics, what are we hearing about Marvel Legacy in general?
We've
got a few issues out now, right?
Actually, I haven't seen much sales-wise. I mean, Marvel Legacy number one, of course... You know, was with 600 different variants and all sorts of different marketing schemes. It was number one last month.
Have we heard anything about specifics about, like, why the Hulk's back? Something to do with Planet Hulk or something?
Oh, Hulk's not back yet.
No?
Okay. No, I took a quick skim. Digitally, I downloaded from Comixology before anyone thinks that I pirate, which I don't. Just a few random legacy issues because I wanted to just, you know, touch base, tune in, see what's going on. Yeah, the first episode of first issue of the new Planet Hulk. So Amadeus Cho is on whatever.
Oh.
What's the name of the planet? Krakatoon or
whatever.
So he's Gladiator and all this stuff. I haven't seen the new Hulk back yet, like the old Hulk back yet.
Right.
Like in theory, he's still dead, isn't he?
I don't know.
Because I'm not following Marvel too well. I read the new Iron Man. She's still the Iron, you know, she's still Iron Heart. They showed Tony Stark in some sort of a status chamber. Yeah. I don't know if he's in a coma or what. And then towards the end of the episode, spoilers, towards the end of the issue,
his eyes open?
No, there's some hairless thing crawls out of a tube and puts on the old blue and gold, red and gold Iron Man armor. So I don't know if this is like a Tony clone that just came out of...
Emperor Palpatine thing? Senator Palpatine cloning himself?
You know, yeah, like, so I don't know if it's a clone of Stark or, like, that's the cliffhangers, who is this guy? But it was really cool seeing him put on the old shellhead armor, right, with the discs on the side and the big, you know, I just, that's the other thing I don't understand. Every time somebody new comes on Iron Man, they gotta give him a new costume. Every time. And meanwhile, we had the exact same costume for like 20-some-odd years, and it was awesome. So, you know, why everybody thinks they have to update it every single time.
Yeah.
Every time. You know. So I read that. It was okay. We were talking about this earlier today. Cable 150. It was good.
Yeah.
I really liked it. Now, it's got Shatterstar was in it, Longshot, who else? Not Warpath.
Dupe.
Oh, yeah. Goop? Dupe?
Dupe. D-O-O-P.
Yeah, is that his name?
Dupe.
Was he from Ecstatic or something?
Yeah, Ecstatic.
Oh, I don't like him.
No, I don't like him either.
He's like the new schmoo.
I was trying to figure out why... I was going to read before I came here, but why Shatterstar didn't say, hey, Dad, to Longshot.
Does he know he's dead?
I thought they did.
Oh, I don't know.
No. Is that in continuity now?
I don't know. That's the thing. I don't even know where they left it.
Blink is in it.
Blink will be in it, yeah. Celine.
Yeah, because she's in The Gifted now, right? The TV show. She's in it, and somebody else. I can't remember. But it was really good. I really liked it. Like, I read New Mutants around the Liefeld era, and I read X-Force and stuff like that in the late 80s, early 90s. I liked it, you know. I know... Liefeld draws big chests and small, tiny feet, but
yeah.
So I thought it was a good story. I'm Sam will be upset with me, but Titans has just been a disappointment after disappointment after disappointment, issue after issue after issue. But I've got such a strong nostalgic feeling for Titans that I want it to get better. This is pretty darn close to the last nail in the coffin. If I put Cable on my list, something else has to come off, and it's probably going to be Titans.
Yeah, see,
but that first issue of Cable was really good.
Yeah, no, I mean, the most I'm enjoying from Marvel right now is X-related, but because of all the bad guys they're bringing back. Like, I don't know the last time we've seen Celine or X-Men Gold and Blue are full of villains and guys we haven't seen in years and years and years, right? Like, that's why I think that's why I'm liking them right now. But
I put Gold back on my list, but man,
yeah,
the last three issues have been a struggle.
Yeah, I haven't read the Mojo crossover yet.
Like, it's full of, well, you know, the original Mojo was, that storyline was just out there and fantastic. This here, Mojo's kind of getting them, and it's just basically a Sentinel battle.
Hmm.
And it's not original like the original Mojo story was.
Yeah.
Like, the original Mojo story was something different and exciting and interesting, and they introduced Longshot as a character, and you're like, whoa, what is this? And,
yeah,
you know, it was interesting. This is...
The only thing I noticed is I read the issue before the whole thing where we first see Mojo and one of his little lackeys beside him. And this is me nitpicking again, is that the lackey had four fingers and a thumb, where Longshot has three fingers. And everyone from that world has three fingers, not four. I guess you guys probably don't know that, but I don't know why he did that.
Chris just blew me away with the fact that I did not know.
Look at Longshot.
Oh, don't I doubt you. Sure,
he
don't
had
doubt
three
you.
Fingers, but the character that was standing beside Mojo had four fingers, which was like... Hmm.
Well, maybe he's an upgraded model.
It could be. Know. It could be.
All right, Google. How many... fingers does Longshot have? Working.
I hope he's spiral.
Working. He only has three fingers and a thumb.
Yep.
There you go. See?
Yep. So does Spiral. Although she has six arms. But
do they actually draw him with only three fingers?
Yes, sir.
My God, I'm going to have to pay attention to that.
Yes, sir.
That's awesome. Yeah, it's
But it was classic Cable. Like, it wasn't...
Yeah, see, that's the thing, right?
It wasn't running around with hope Cable.
They're talking about legacy. They're talking about returning storylines. And I know they got to kind of tie off some loose ends before everything. Like, it's not an instantaneous reboot like New 52 was.
Yeah.
So it's going to be gradual. Like, eventually we're going to get Banner as the Hulk again. And you know, eventually, like, blah, 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 blah. Like, X-Men Gold right now... It's not Mark Silvestri,
no.
Leonardi, and Chris Claremont X-Men. It's not there, you know. But it's getting there. Same thing.
Team's great.
Same thing with what we were just talking about, Iron Man. You know, it's not there yet. They're tying up some storylines before they get there. But Cable, right off the get go, Ed Bryson was writing it, a Canadian boy. Canadian man, sorry. He don't want to, you know, disparage, but Canadian lad. There you go. And good started, Canadian lad, eh?
It started right off. Like, you know,
starts
Cable
right off,
and
boom.
Longshot are hanging out.
Away we go.
Hey, how's it going?
So I really liked it. Okay. I'm probably going to put it on my list. That means X-Men Gold, Cable, and Marvel 2-in-1 are on my list. So all of a sudden there's three Marvel books on my list that there wasn't 2 months ago.
Yeah.
So that's a good sign to me.
Yep.
It's a good sign to me that they're getting their bums in gear. But I didn't bring any Marvel comics today. Did you guys buy any comics this week?
Yeah.
I'm going to start with this one, if you guys don't mind.
Go ahead.
All right, so I reviewed a comic book called Group of Seven. This is a Canadian comic book.
Is that about the painters?
Independent comic book. Canadian creation... Chris Sanigan and Jason Lapidus, manufactured in Canada. It is a historical book, World War One. The main character is John McCrae, the doctor who wrote In Flanders Fields, right? And what it is it's a bunch of characters from history that are grouped together for a secret spy mission. And the characters are like, I got to find the list here somewhere, but it's like Lester B. Pearson, right? To be a prime minister.
Mm-hmm.
I have to find the list.
So these are real people.
Yeah, so it's basically a fictional take on real characters in a World War One spy setting. And it's fantastic. It is great. Now, mind you, you know, the art is independent art. It's not, it's stylish. It's all black and white, but the artist, he does an amazing job of filling the page with tone. You know, for a black and white book, this guy really has an understanding on how to fill a page. Like, look at that. That doesn't look like just a coloring book, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's a great book. But there's like a hockey player, the guy who found, one of the co-founders found penicillin.
Mm-hmm.
What's his name? He's one of the commandos. Like, it's just... it's just awesome. And, of course, first issue, so it's like, all right, well, you know, this... oh, here we go. Personal requirements. Sorry, I'm brain farting here.
Sounds kind of like the League of Extraordinary
Gentlemen. That is exactly what I put. Exactly what I put in my review. League of Extraordinary Canadians. And it's just a neat little book. He's got a subscription for 6 issues, so you can buy a subscription for 6 issues, or you can just buy this 1 issue online. And he's got a historical, these guys have a historical component to it. So they have a website with workshops and stuff, an education component for teachers where they'll come to your school and they'll talk about and introduce the real history behind these characters that they're introducing into this fictional story. And it's really good. It's really sharp. Group of Seven.
And if I can segue...
by all means.
The, Chris and Jason will be at Witcalf.
Excellent, yes.
So that's that'll be super cool.
Yes, we mentioned that at, on either, where was it? On the Facebook group, I guess. So they're going to be at Witcalf, which is the Whitby Comics Art Festival. So it'll be really cool to connect with them and chat with them. And I don't know if they'll have issue 2 ready by then or not, but... it's a hoot.
Some of us don't have issue 1, so I'll pick issue 1 up there.
Well, I'm just going to say that this is, by some weird coincidence, an extra copy of issue 1.
Yeah.
So I wonder if that...
if you wanted to read it first.
I wonder if that young lady will have issue 2 of that one comic that we picked up in Toronto.
Did we actually pick... oh.
You know which one I mean, right?
Oh, what was it? Stargazer?
Yeah, Stargazer.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, you haven't seen this, have you, Dan?
No,
I'm going to have to bring it in.
Oh, boy.
Well, Witcap, Toronto Comics Art Festival, right? There's a lot of what one would call more artistic pieces of work. And this one comic book, I think it was called Stargazer. Yeah. And it looks like a really cool science fiction-y book. And you open up the first page. Boobies.
Lady parts.
Lady parts everywhere. You flip the next page, lady and men parts. The next page, more lady parts. You flip the next. It's like, wow, are we going to see a spaceship here? Is there going to be a spaceship here at some point in time?
Well, there was a bit of a story to it, though.
Yeah, it was a story. It was a good, it was a fun book, don't get me wrong, but it's not the kind of book that you would leave at a barbershop for kids to read while they're... I say that because some people might remember the one barbershop downtown that used to have the... Playboys in the waiting room, so all the young kids could sit there and look at the centerfold while waiting for their haircut, and all the dads would just sit around going, "Oh, he's becoming a man now." What was that shop's name? It was in Charlotte Muse. Frankie's, Freddy's. It was one of those cool barbershops that are named after a guy, like Marty's in East City and Kevin's out there by the Kinsman Arena and Ernie's. Yes, Ernie's. It was Ernie's. I'm positive it was Ernie's. I think you're right. Anyways.
Chris is like, I definitely didn't go there as a kid.
Chris is like, I'm guessing here. I don't know for sure. But that was pretty good.
So this show is, you guys said the 18th? No, was it 18th?
I think it's November the 18th.
18th at the Whitby Public Library.
And there's just a plethora of people who are going to be there. We're going to be there officially with the show, and Dan's going to be there officially with his little Aurora Man stuff and Tractor Man and
Tractor Lad.
I apologize. And so we'll be there in an official capacity with a booth and banners and stuff, and it should be fun. It should be a good time. You coming?
I think I am.
Excellent.
Excellent. Because then that means that with three of us, there's two at the table and one's Roman. Because I got to tell you, having my kids at the Peterborough Comic Con running my table while I just walked around and schmoozed with everybody was awesome. It was great.
Great.
It was great. Martin was social.
So Batman.
Okay, yeah. So another book I bought was Batman 33. And, you know, these guys just came out on Wednesday, so we don't want to get too spoilerish in it. But basically, it just starts right off the bat. There's Batman and Catwoman in the desert on a horse and a dead horse on the ground. And they're in, like, desert. Like, you know how action figures used to have, okay, we can't put out too many partners and we can't put out too many villains, but we got to have, like, 12 different versions of the hero.
Mm-hmm.
So we need polar ice Batman. We need desert camel Batman. We need jungle fever Batman. Mm-hmm. We need, underwater aqua diver Batman. Well, this is like he's dressed up in this desert outfit, but he still has his cowl on. He's got little desert goggles that he pops down. So this is a really cool, like, look at that.
So that would make him.
Look at that double page spread right there.
Hallucination Batman versus Superman Batman.
Yeah, exactly.
Basically?
Oh, yes, exactly. He looks exactly like from Batman versus Superman. So basically, the story is that Batman and Catwoman have to go to this desert city. They meet a few people, and they, you know, it's like, oh, I have to get into the city. It's like, you, man of the bat, are not allowed. You know, you've been specifically forbidden, and there's this whole storyline about them getting into the city. There's a subplot going on where Alfred is explaining to Dick Grayson, Jason Todd, Damian Wayne, and what's the name of the new kid? The Signal.
Duke.
How Batman is getting married to Catwoman, and Catwoman said yes, and they're all like, he's what? He's doing what?
You say what?
So they're all in disbelief, sitting around the couch going, he's doing what? And it turns out that, I don't know if we want to get too spoilery here, but the whole reason why they have to get in the city, this is where Talia al Ghul is hiding out.
Oh.
Who is
Batman's wife?
Batman's wife. They're married. So does this mean Batman needs to go see Talia to get an annulment or divorce so that he can get married to Catwoman? Like, it's a really cheesy little plot thing, but they did it so cool with this whole desert and this, you know, Arabian stuff and this, no, you cannot enter the secret city of thieves, but I am the Batman, and you must let me in, and no, I cannot. And remember that time I saved your butt in that bar? Oh, yes, I do. Okay, we know a way of getting you into the city. Like, it's just, and it's like, really, he's going to get an annulment? Really?
Yeah.
And it's like the very last page. Again, spoilers, too bad. We've kind of ruined it already. The very last page, it's like, ma'am, we just received word the Batman has arrived in the city. And she's like, I see. Please prepare my swords. And I'm like,
Uh-oh.
Somebody's in the doghouse. Somebody's in trouble. So it was, nice. The art's fantastic. And this King guy, what's his name? Ted King or Tim King? Tom King?
Tom King.
He's the ex-CIA guy, right? If I'm not mistaken, he's a ex-CIA operative of some sort that is now writing comic books. Mm-hmm. CIA analyst or whatever. I'm pretty sure it's King that is. And it's just good. Mm-hmm. It's just good. It's a great comic. Hitting it out of the park. I mean, we kind of got that really weird Joker Riddler storyline past couple of issues. This is a nice little storyline that's kicking off, so that's going to be cool. And it's got the, did we talk about this, how DC's changing their trade dress?
No.
So right now, DC Comics has the little circles in the corners, right? Mm-hmm. And that's very reminiscent of early 70s DC.
Right.
They used to do that. Well, now they're changing everything, and they're moving it all over to the left-hand corner in this really busy box that I think looks horrible.
Oh.
And each family is going to have, like, a little sigil. So all the Batman titles, whether it's Batwoman, Batman, Batgirl,
yeah,
they're all going to have the little bat symbol. Superman, Superwoman, they're all going to have the Superman symbol, you know? And it's like, really? I mean, that's a lot of, I think this looks nice and clean. And the fact that they had room at the top to put the storyline and what part it is, like, mm-hmm, this is Rules of Engagement Part 1, made it easy to follow when it was like a crossover and stuff. So
yeah.
I hope they don't lose that, because Marvel turned around, changed their trade dress for Marvel Legacy, and they put the bar across the top like they used to, Marvel Comics Group.
But instead of saying Marvel Comics Group across the bar, they have the storyline and the part number.
Yeah.
And they return to it. Like, I think the new Marvel Legacy trade dress is beautiful. I like it. Looks great. You know, and I know it's a dumb stylish thing, but this new DC stuff, oh, it's going to look horrible next month. But anyways. Yeah, I just saw there the two go. Circles, and I got all nostalgic for the old comics, and I was like, oh, man, they're going to screw that up. But it is what it is.
Yeah.
It is what it is. Another book I read, since I'm the only one here with piles of comics. I can't help but notice.
That's something I want to talk about, but you go ahead.
Perfect. Slots from Image. Dan Panosian. He's an artist. I think he did the Chrononauts.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Did he? No, he didn't do Chrononauts. What did he draw?
Let's see.
You might be able to tell.
It looks familiar for sure.
But he's been drawing some comics for a while now, and he's decided to do art. And Sam's not a fan of casinos because he worked in one, and he's got some horrible stories to tell about casino life. So anybody who thinks a casino in the city is really good, you need to hear some of these stories because it's not. But so he got turned off right away knowing it's about Las Vegas. But it's more to it than that. It's about like a Las Vegas fixer who's been chased out of town. And he gets called back by an old friend to help him out. And this old friend runs a stripper house. And the main stripper's being wooed away by a competing casino. And, you know, it's like, this is the mom, this is the daughter, this is the ex-boyfriend. And it gets a little complicated. But it's a really neat little, you know, sort of a crimey kind of storyline. I liken it very much to the same kind of idea as 100 Bullets.
Right.
Right? It's that type of a story. It's not exactly the same. This is like Redneck only in Vegas. And it's really good. And the art's fantastic. So I think this might actually be a little bit of a sleeper hit that some people later on in life go, hey, did you get Slots? Slots was really good. You should have got Slots. So hopefully it'll be good. So, yeah, that was the books that really jumped out at me this week anyways that I couldn't help but talk about.
I did read the new Punisher. Punisher, what was it called? Punisher Platoon?
It's either Punisher Squad or Punisher the Platoon. Or
it's a flashback story. It was good so far. Yeah. It was good. But I saw two posts about the same book. I'm sure it was today. One this morning and one this afternoon. And, you know, people are just going,
oh, Hansi, the girl who loved the swastika.
Yeah. Did you see those posts today?
Yeah, I saw a couple of them until they devolved into stupidity.
Yeah, like, come on.
So anybody, oh. Yeah, anybody who doesn't know about this was a book that was written. There was a whole bunch of these educational type books written. I'm trying to remember. Crossing the Switchblade was one. I don't know if they were all the same company. It's like Spire Comics or something like this. So I can't remember all of that, the exact details. But basically, this was just about a girl being raised during the propaganda and stuff in Germany that was going on.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not like, it's just a story. It's not in any way saying, you know, this is an indoctrination Bible to be Nazis. It was not, it was just talking about a girl who was, because, I mean, you got to admit, if you were a young girl in the middle of World War II, no matter which side you were on, there's some stories to tell there.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And, of course, this thing just evolved into this big, huge anti-Nazi, anti-Jewish, anti-everything. Snowflakes and alt-rights were yelling at each other, and just the keyboard warriors were just, they were just, they literally sat there with their rubber sex toys just pounding on the keyboard, and just whatever strange verbiage came out on the keyboard, that's what ended up in the Facebook posts. And it was just ridiculous. It's just a comic book that was published, I can't even remember when, the 60s?
Yeah.
Late 70s? Oh, my watch is falling apart.
Yeah.
But, you know, and they just went nuts. They just went crazy over it. And it's like, get a break. Give me a break.
I saw one post this morning had like a guy showing two different versions, asking if one was the first print and second print.
Yeah.
And then the other one I saw this afternoon, somebody actually had it graded, fairly high grade, which was kind of surprising. And that's when it was just like, boom.
Yeah, because, I mean, it's not an easy comic book to find in high grade.
Yeah.
For some reason, maybe, like, there's people out there that specifically collect, you know, Nazi covers and, you know, Hitler getting punched in the face by Captain America and stuff mm-hmm. like this. So it's one of those comic books where you're like, this got published? So yeah. There's a bit of cachet to that. There's a little bit of collectability to that. So it's not an inexpensive book to buy. I'm not sure what current prices are right now on eBay, but it's not cheap. And because it's from this fourth tier publisher and was handed out for free and stuff like this, and you know, nobody took care of comics, it's hard to find in high grade. So yeah, there's some collectability to it. But yeah, it's a big to do about nothing.
Yeah. Dan, are you here?
I'm here.
Speak.
So, we've talked before about comic book creators and how their attitudes and stuff are. Marty's having a fit here. Is it expensive?
Sorry. Hansi, the girl who loved the swastika, CGC 9.6, $415. Hansi, the girl who loved the swastika, fine, raw, $115.
Geez, I better find my copy.
Here's a beat-up copy, see what $50. Kind of bucks. Here's one, $75, $93, $99. So, yeah,
that's
like
not bad.
It's going to cost you it's going to cost you at least one first appearance of Jason Todd as the Red Hood to obtain it. Sorry, Dan. I interrupted with
yes, my you interrupted my flow. We've talked before about certain comic book creators and writers and or artists whose personal attitudes towards things have soured you on their projects.
Oh, yes. Very much so.
Alan Moore, some other artists and stuff.
Yeah. What's his name? Ivan Riet? No. Anyways, doesn't matter. Go ahead.
I was going to say, what do you guys think about Chuck Dixon?
Oh, Chuck Dixon. If there was one guy that you wanted to meet in a bar in Alabama and sit down and have a few beers with and shoot the poop with, it's Chuck Dixon. If you wanted to invite somebody to a wedding or something, or you know where your grandparents are going to be and your parents are going to be and it's a fancy thing, you don't want to invite Chuck Dixon. So, I don't have any strong, even his books, I don't even, like, what did he do? I know he did Hawk World. That was a pretty good book.
He's, like, because he was really big in the 90s, right?
Yeah, what was his big book?
Robin.
No, he had, like, an actual independent book. It's like Tim Truman did not Aztec Ace, Coyote. Anyways.
That's where I know him from.
I always thought
Robin.
Chuck Dixon had a independent book. Anyways,
But, like, he does have an independent book that he's releasing right now.
I don't even know anything about it.
It's a pro alt-right propaganda book, and that's what the controversy is. You guys haven't heard this?
I am not surprised. Well, that's how little Chuck Dixon is in my radar. But, yes, I'm not surprised that Chuck Dixon is releasing a for lack of better terminology, redneck, southern pride, alt-right, KKK-ish comic. I'm not surprised by that at all.
Is it a comic or is it like a...
It's a comic. I'll pull a Marty. You guys talk amongst yourselves while I try to look this thing
up.
What
did that say? 40,000 comic book pages this guy has published since on September the 6th. Most published comic book writer of all time, Chuck Dixon. Holy crud. So he must have done a lot.
Oh, yeah.
Did he do Punisher for a bit?
Yeah,
Punisher. Anyways, whatever. I just don't know because my opinion on entertainment is to entertain me. Take me away from the world's issues and problems. I really do not find a movie about an AIDS victim who finds love and support in the middle of a desert after crashing his plane in the French Sahara and has struggles raising his daughter as a single father with AIDS on a farm that's being flooded. That's not me. I don't like those movies. I don't care. I don't want real life. It's just like me and Tom Hanks, we're not buddies. He doesn't, that's not true. The one with Wilson the basketball, that was a pretty good flick. But I'm just not into that kind of movie. I don't want heavy drama that's realism-based. I want escapism. I want science fiction. I want Frankenstein. I want, something weird or strange so that I forget about. And it's the same thing with comic books. Like, I don't know anything about the underbelly of Las Vegas. So this slots book is entertaining. I mean, here we got this dude dressed up in spandex and leather and a cowl in the desert. You know, this other book I got in my hand, Sherlock Frankenstein and the Legion of Evil. How does that in any way sound political or realistic? So I just don't see myself gravitating to this comic.
So apparently it's called Alt Hero, and it was crowdsourced through a unreputable company that does things for alt-right-ish things.
Like, is Diamond going to distribute this?
I don't know. Yeah, I haven't. It actually, like, there isn't much information. October 12th is sort of when the news came out, but, like, Bleeding Cool doesn't have any articles on this. I had to Google this. So it's like they're just... If Bleeding Cool isn't covering you, then you're in, like, yeah. they're keeping it away for a reason.
Crash I don't know. Burn. It just doesn't. It's just not me, you know. It's just not me. So if they want to, just not me. Who's the other white wing artist? I really like his art, but I think he's just a tool. Square jawed, short blonde hair. Somebody's screaming at the internet right now. I think he drew Flash for a while.
Was it Ivan? Ethan Van Sciver?
That's him.
Oh.
I was getting him mixed up with Ivan Reis
or whatever. Yeah,
yeah from, yes. Yeah. Ethan Van Sciver. I mean, his art's fantastic, but man, does he got some ideas. Like, Neil Adams, please forgive me. He is my iconic artist. He's an asshole. I just have to say that. He's not a very nice... Well, he's a humorous individual. He doesn't mean anything wrong, but he has a particularly sharp, sarcastic wit, and he intentionally is a little bit controversial because he tells fantastic stories. He's a great storyteller. There's a little bit of the nasty word I just used in his stories, but it's for entertainment purposes. Right.
Yep.
And he's a bit boastful and stuff, but he's generally speaking a nice guy.
Yeah.
You know,
I know what you mean. I've met him a few times and I've seen different versions of him.
Yeah. Like he turns on the entertainment meter. It's all of a sudden it's the Neil Adams show. You know, it's not necessarily his real persona when he's talking, but these guys like this is just out there. Like, what's the Nick Spencer? Is that his name? He shouldn't be on Twitter at all. Every time he types something, it just makes it worse.
I don't, that's the thing, like, we've probably talked about this before, but I just don't get when, as Nick Spencer, all he has to do is keep his mouth shut.
Yeah.
And he's doing fine. Who cares? I mean, okay, he made Captain America a Nazi. Okay. That's not the greatest thing, but like, why do writers and artists feel like they have to, let's say, go to the level of the people that are on Twitter? Twitter is just like a troll city.
I have more than once been caught up in the enthusiasm of a troll war, and I have done my fair share of keyboard warrioring. So I know exactly how it is. It's like you want to grab somebody by the ears and go, but you just don't understand. But that's the problem. Like, my favorite meme on the internet is from Police Academy, where the two cops are sitting there screaming at each other in bullhorns, because that's what arguing on the internet is. You know, you will never change the mind on Facebook or on Twitter of the person you're tweeting to. Yeah. It just won't happen. That doesn't stop you from, you know, like, it should, but you get into a flow. So I don't blame him. But really, somebody at some point in time should have said, Nick, just stop. Like, turn off the Twitter. Don't worry about the haters. Just do your story. You know, don't try defending each issue because you know more about the story than everybody else. Just if the story isn't being received well, you didn't do a good job in entertaining.
See, the thing is, like, what I don't get is, why does he care what some people are tweeting at him?
Because to him, this is his opus. This is my big thing, and if you guys keep pooping on it, then I'm not going to get another job. I'm not going to get another project, and, you know, you guys don't get it. Or maybe he's very thin-skinned, and he's like, but. Like, I don't know.
Like, what's his face? Ed Sheeran quitting Twitter after his Game of Thrones appearance. Because people were making fun of him.
Yeah, it just...
What? You're Ed Sheeran. You were on Game of Thrones. Yeah. Why are you... Who cares what people on Twitter are saying? They don't... They're never going to be on Game of Thrones.
No.
Except it was probably Peter Dinklage tweeting at him about him being a big loser or something. But, like, I don't understand why people who are famous like that...
Well, the reason...
Are like, oh, my feelings are hurt. I'm going to... flounce away.
The reason why they entered a field where they're famous is because they're A-type personalities that need to be worshipped and they need that adulation from the crowd. That's the whole reason why they started doing it in the first place, right? They wanted other people to go, you are amazing.
Yeah.
You are the best. Can I have your autograph? Can I have, you know, can you take my panties home with you? Can you, you know, can you sign my boob? Can you, like, they want that.
I'll sign your boob anytime.
There you go. So, you know, all of a sudden the Twitterverse is like just full of this because there's no ramifications. You can type anything you want and nobody cares, you know, until you go and apply for a job and your boss, which I do, by the way, as a boss, look up everybody's social media before I hire you. So if you're cosplaying as a Klingon, chances are you got the job. So don't worry about that. But, you know, it's,
there's too many nutballs out there who just want to.
Like, the internet is just a vacuum where people are shouting their opinion, hoping somebody else will hear it and get mad and shout an opinion back.
Well, who was it? The actor that plays Eugene on Walking Dead.
Yeah.
Right? Oh, you're siding with Negan. I'm going to kill you. I'm going to come to your house and kill.
Like, give me a break.
It's a TV it's a script show.
That was written that doesn't involve. It's not like he is the character. People are so. Some people on the internet are stupid.
Yeah, but that happened before. I mean, there's stories in the 70s and 80s of people going nuts and stalking actors that were on the soap opera, right? And you slept with Billy, so now I have to kill you because now Sandra is upset. So, I mean, that stuff has always been there.
But it's
the
a internet much bigger
just,
scam.
Yeah, the internet just gives you such a huge audience to be able to do that. Like, the one internet group we're part of has what, 20,000 people?
Yeah.
And it's always the same, and I'm one of them. It's always the same, I was going to use the A word again, typing comments.
Yeah.
You know, and we're all trying to be heard in this big cacophony of me too, me too. So, I don't know, just take it with a grain of salt and relax.
So Nick Spencer, relax.
Nick Spencer, relax.
Ed Sheeran,
dude.
You're still more popular than anyone else who's tweeting at you. Just relax and write another sad song about it.
Yeah, Ed Sheeran, wipe your tears with your millions. And Nick Spencer, hey, you wrote Captain America.
You have been listening to the Hey Kids Comics Radio Show broadcast through the facilities of Trent Radio on 92.7 CFFF FM in Peterborough, Ontario, and available as a downloadable podcast at www.heykidscomics.ca and at www.firstcomicsnews.com. Promotional consideration for the show was provided by no one. Are you kidding me? We couldn't get advertisers if we tried. Wardrobe for our hosts was provided by Joe Nerds in Whitby, Ontario. They don't know that fact, but that is where we get 90% of our clothes from. No animals were harmed in the making of this radio show. Marty tried, but allergies won't let him get too close to Sam's cats. The views and opinions expressed by Sam are solely his own and do not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of the rest of the hosts, as we all like the Walking Dead TV show. The Hey Kids Comics Radio Show is a Quinn Martin production and copyright Hey Kids Comico. Rebroadcasting in part or in whole of this show is forbidden, but really, who would want to anyway?